Good morning. Welcome to Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. This afternoon, Freddie Gray, the 25-year-old Baltimore man who died a week after his spine was broken while in police custody, will be laid to rest at Woodlawn Cemetery after a funeral service this morning at New Shiloh Baptist Church in West Baltimore. For more than a week, protesters have marched through the city demanding to know what happened to Freddie Gray. The largest protest came on Saturday night.
All night, all day,
we will fight for Freddie Gray.
All night, all day,
we will fight for Freddie Gray.
Maryland Morning producer Jonna McCone was there. She talked to longtime Sandtown resident Stacy Folks.
I live in Howard County now, but I was born and raised actually right around the corner from here. My first 40 years of life was in Sandtown. The violence amongst the police, amongst its citizens, is a part of Baltimore's history. The difference is today we're having a march. Today we're having a march that's bringing attention to the devastation that we've been living.
One of the organizers of that protest was Davon Love. He's founder of the group Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle, and he's here with me in the studio. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And with us by phone is Baltimore City Councilman Nick Mosby. He represents the 7th District, which includes the Sandtown-Winchester neighborhood where Freddie Gray was arrested and where he died. Welcome back to the show, Councilman.
Thank you, Sheila. Thanks for having me.
The protest on Saturday began peacefully with protesters marching from Gilmore Homes near where Freddie Gray was arrested down Pennsylvania Avenue to Camden Yards, then to City Hall. By the end of the evening, however, some aspects of the protest had become destructive. Store windows downtown were broken, cars smashed, 6 officers were injured. Police said 31 adults and 4 juveniles were arrested. By far, the majority of those arrested were from Baltimore City. But the Baltimore Police Department wrote in an update to media yesterday, quote, outside agitators continue to be the instigators behind acts of violence and destruction, close quote. Davon Love, did the protests achieve what you had hoped it would?
Absolutely. I think the importance of the demonstration was to demonstrate that the masses of people in Baltimore are sick and tired of the conditions that I think facilitated the death of Freddie Gray. If you think about the systemic poverty, you think about the way in which policing has undermined the humanity of the people in the communities that are often over-policed. I think the demonstration is an example of the fact that people are going to stand up and people are going to fight for systemic change.
So you mentioned both actions by police and even bigger issues like systemic poverty. These protests are aimed at all of that.
Absolutely. I mean, many of the demonstrators, and you have conversations with many of the organizers, a lot of the demonstrators, people, you know, intuitively understand the connections between the way that society exacts systemic violence against, you know, people in the neighborhoods most directly affected by racism and white supremacy and the dominant forces in society that undermine the humanity of black people and people of color, poor people in general. And what you find is that people connecting those dots, I think, has created an energy. And I think that's a lot of what I experienced during the demonstration, an energy with people understanding the connectedness and understanding the importance of some kind of very major change in the way things are happening in our city.
Councilman Mosby, people across the state and across the country saw these protests, and some of what they watched on television looked pretty violent. For those who saw chaos in downtown Baltimore, what would you tell them?
That you know, depending on the media source, depends on the type of image that they wanted to show. You know, I was at the rallies all week. I started out both rallies, the one in the Western as well as the one where Mr. Gray was ultimately arrested. And, you know, I saw that it was high quality, a really productive, a really strong spirit as it relates to kind of mobilizing and coming together and organizing around issues that have impacted and plagued these communities for quite some time. Unfortunately, certain media sources decided to, you know, take a small snippet of what took place, some of the violence, some of the looting, some of the unproductive types of things that took place downtown, and kind of make it into the story. And but I think some of the more conscious folks, some of the more folks that were really on the ground and really trying to provide substantive feedback on what took place, kind of painted the story in a broader stroke and said that, you know, yes, there was this element. However, 95% of the element was around just really forcing change and forcing justice for Freddie Gray.
Davon Love, On the police department's point about people from outside Baltimore being the instigators of violence, what's your impression?
I mean, certainly you might have had some of that, but I think what at least I saw in some of what happened was that you're dealing with people who have been traumatized by the kinds of policies that have been promoted. And you know, thinking about this administration, previous administrations, what you'll find is...
Talking about the Rawlings-Blake administration.
Yes. And unfortunately, because of the kinds of policies that neglect the needs of the most vulnerable people in our society, that don't create the kind of economic, sustainable economic opportunities that would help create the kind of institutional power and fortitude for communities like that to protect themselves from the way that law enforcement engages in those kinds of abuses, what you find is that people are traumatized by that. And so people are exacting out revenge, not just for Freddie Gray, but Freddie Gray is representative of the kind of mistreatment that the people in our communities have been feeling for years and years. And I think we need to see it in that context. I think the agitator comment is an attempt to obscure the fact that there's some real legitimacy to the kinds of anger people have about the way in which our city is being governed.
On 88.1, it's Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Davon Love, one of the organizers of the protest around the death of Freddie Gray this past weekend. Also with us is Baltimore City Councilman Nick Mosby. We're talking about the protests this weekend. Councilman Mosby, do you think the protests helped the cause of justice?
I mean, whenever you get 3,000-plus, 4,000 or 5,000-plus folks mobilized on a central issue such as this, of course it helped. I think that the one thing that I was really impressed throughout the week was the amount of young folks in these communities that, for most of the part, feel completely disfranchised from the political process and their right to change policy, who feel like they really do not have a voice, and who really feel dumped upon as it relates to, you know, living in abject poverty, you know, going through the conditions and being in the environments that they're in on a daily basis, including their interactions with the police. So when you're able to get, you know, thousands upon thousands of folks to come together on a centralized issue and kind of speak the point of, you know, this is wrong, this is what needs to be changed, and, you know, I am not voiceless, I do have a voice, I think it's powerful. We know that change always comes from youth, something that we've seen throughout this country's history, but also the world's history, and I think that that was proven throughout last week.
Davon Love, since you point out that the protests are go beyond the actions of the police department in Freddie Gray's case, but go to much broader problems, what are the protesters calling for by way of solutions? What answers are they looking for?
Well, ultimately, I mean, people want the officers responsible indicted and convicted. And that's been the pattern, is that you find that, you know, officers, police officers and departments in Baltimore and around the country are held responsible for the damage they do, particularly to black people and people of color. And so that just an indictment and conviction would represent at least some semblance of respect for the life of black people, people of color. And then also there are also broader policy reforms that, you know, a lot of the organizers, including myself, have been calling for, which we think would be tremendously relevant even to this case. You think about the Maryland Law Enforcement Officer Bill of Rights and the fact that it undermines our ability to have access to kinds of information, that would give us a greater sense of what was going on in terms of accountability, you know, in terms of law enforcement investigating themselves and being able to pick and choose, you know, what agencies and institutions are investigating them. There's a history of police officers, you know, not having to be made accountable to the damage they do to black people in the neighborhoods that are overly policed. And so those broader policy reforms, I think, are tremendously relevant in thinking about the ways in which Freddie Gray's life could have been preserved if there was a political infrastructure that would allow accountability.
Councilman Mosby, the results of the criminal investigation are expected to be available later this week. Is the police investigation moving forward in a way that you're comfortable with?
Well, we've only received limited information. The one thing that, I will say, and you know, I think that we got to start getting this right, and, you know, this is a testament to you know, just ensuring transparency is there from the onset is, you know, I think a lot of the frustration, especially the initial frustration, came to the fact of why was Mr. Gray chased? Why was he detained? Why was he ultimately arrested? And we have a young man who is seemingly healthy to his family, his friends, his community, we end up in shock trauma with a severed spine. I think that they want to know those that information kind of immediately. And I think that we missed the ball, as it relates to the communication out of Baltimore Police Department, of informing the community that. You know, a couple of days later, I think it was like 7 or 8 days later when they released the footage of exactly when he was arrested. It was right above the area, and it really didn't show any information. I mean, that's something that we could have released immediately. You know, at the end of the day, like Davon said, these communities already have a huge distrust for the criminal justice system, and you exacerbate it when you hoard information that really should be generally available, like why was he arrested, like why was he ultimately chased. And that's what we have to do better, because I think if that initial communication would have come across a little better and folks felt as if they were a part of the process because they are the community, they are his loving friends and his family, then, you know, I think we could have had an even more productive a week as it relates to communication with the community and family and his friends.
Davon Love, are you planning more protests?
Not at the moment. I mean, certainly, you know, the community, you know, will probably continue to engage in demonstrations, and we're hoping to be supportive of them. Our goal is to try to, you know, push forward in encouraging an indictment of the police officers. And again, just talking about broader policy reform that would help arm the community with the tools to prevent some of this from kind of thing from happening again.
I really appreciate both of you talking to us about it. It's such an important issue. Davon Love was one of the organizers of the protests around the death of Freddie Gray this past weekend, a founder of the group Leaders of a Beautiful Struggle. Nick Mosby is Baltimore 7th District Councilman. We've got more information on our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, religious pluralism. Stay with us on 88.1.